WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The language of seduction used to include words like suitor and wooing. These words are rarely used today to describe lovers, but they show up frequently on the business pages. Our linguist Jeff Nunberg has been listening to the way we talk about corporate mergers and what it says about our changing ideas of love and money.
There are a few things as dogged as a business writer who gets a meaty metaphor between his teeth. Here's how Business Week described the recent announcement of a merger between two cruise ship lines. The path to the altar is strewn with crushed hearts, but no broken engagement between companies has proved quite so stunning as the one that befell Royal Caribbean International. It stood ready to seal a merger with P&O Princess Cruises before a congregation of investors, but then rival suitor Carnival Cruise Line swung in. Now P&O Princess has kissed off Royal Caribbean and is betrothed to Carnival. That's typical of the way mergers and acquisitions are described nowadays, with a quiver full of words borrowed from the old language of courtship. In fact, the business pages are about the only places where these words are still being used. The other day I looked up the first 50 hits for the word suitor from a Nexus database of major newspapers. 48 of them involved business deals of one sort or another. One other came from the plot summary of a movie about King Arthur. And the last was from a palace gossip story about the rivals for Princess Di's affections after her separation, which is only marginally closer to real life than Camelot was. Suitor isn't a word that pops up a lot on Sex and the City. Or take the verb woo. You read about companies wooing investors, politicians wooing voters, and teams wooing fans. But lovers don't talk much about wooing anymore, except in fits of coyness or nostalgia. You don't suppose you could woo me a little first? That language has been receding for a long time. The word courting was already on the way out by the late 19th century, when people began to feel that the rituals of courtship were impediments to the candor that true affinity required. Anthony Trollope only put the word courting into the mouths of his lower middle class and lower class characters, and within a few years it had become the stuff of rustic comedy. By the beginning of the 20th century, people were taking up the new slang word dating with its modern egalitarian syntax. Only men could be suitors or go courting, but women could date men as easily as the other way around. But the very things that make the language of courtship sound anachronistic for talking about our love lives make it a handy language for describing corporate couplings. As that root court reminds us, the vocabulary has always been drawn from the language of politics and influence, ever since it was first cooked up by the 12th century nobles and poets who laid down the codes of courtly love. And the words of courtship have always been charged with double meanings of power and sex. The verb court means both to pay amorous attention and to try to gain favor with someone. For that matter, the word favor has the same ambiguity between the meaning good graces and its sexual sense, what people used to describe delicately as the last favor, as in she granted him the last favor. And until recent times, a suitor could be either a lover or a petitioner. Those ambiguities are summed up in the underlying plea of all courtly attentions, be mine. That's what makes the language a natural fit for the corporate world, the last place left where you can realize your dynastic ambitions by getting somebody to change their name to yours. The super mergers that have built today's corporate giants recall the intricate maneuverings of an age when Catherine of Braganza could arrive in England for her marriage to Charles II with a trousseau bulging with 2 million crowns and big chunks of India and Morocco. Even more to the point, the language of courtship has always involved a certain charade of power as the suitor abases himself in order to gain the upper hand. Samuel Richardson observed that the gallantries always came down to the same message. I am now, dear madam, your humble servant. Pray be so good as to let me be your master. That's a fair paraphrase of the blandishments that companies like Tyco and WorldCom dangled before the companies they were acquiring. And in the end, the stockholders wound up in pretty much the same compromised position as Richardson's heroine Clarissa did. In fact, if there's travesty here, it isn't because corporate CEOs are any more devious or rapacious than the courtiers they replaced, but because they're a lot more banal. The ardent avowals of courtly love may have been disingenuous, but that's something poetry will be eternally grateful for. Whereas the romance of the modern boardroom is pretty prosaic stuff in every sense of the term. Imagine what a Sidney or Marlowe would have had to come up with if they'd been working as corporate publicists spinning their company's takeover bids. Come merge with us and we shall seize 10,000 win-win synergies.
Jeff Nunberg is currently a fellow at the Stanford Humanities Center. He's the author of the book, The Way We Talk Now. This is Fresh Air.